The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Welcome back to another Dark Side of the Pooch. He is my good friend. He is my pooch. He's on the left-hand side of the screen here. I'm Tony Curry, Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, 208-0301. We hope you're doing extremely well. It's a hot one out there, my friend. I hope you're keeping all the dogs hot and the kitties cool. How are you doing, man?
I'm good. Yeah, we got we're being sure that everyone's behaving.
Good.
Looking at my command center right now.
Good.
And yeah.
Oh, yeah. Getting lots of emails, obviously, on Frisco Dog, which you've talked a lot about. It's been incredibly therapeutic for me here the last several weeks, but he is doing very, very well. His belly is huge. I'm hoping that is not fluid, but he's eating a lot. I mean, he'll eat pretty much all day if I allow him to. I'm not going to. I'm feeding him twice a day, but he's
getting, we're gonna pull that fluid out. We're gonna pull that fluid out if it's still there.
He's now getting up and downstairs, and every day is better than the day before. So I mean, I cannot complain. So we'll give you an update on that next week on next week's show. But he seems to he appears that he can make it. I think we got him figured out.
Yep. I think we got him figured out.
I think we're gonna make it. Also, the big show brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics. They do all kinds of really cool toys, any comics from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and any toys that are unopened, Battlestar Galactica, Star Trek, any of the type of stuff, Legos. They've got it all down there at Sasquatch Toys and Comics down there in Citation Lane, and also Ed's Pet World, which has been in business. When we started this show, they were in business for 47 years, is now 50 years. So any type of exotic pet you want to get your hands on, I mentioned I've got a chinchilla from down there. I've got my gerbils, my guinea pigs, tarantulas, bearded, every time I say bearded, I want to say bearded clams, bearded dragons, not bearded clams, but they got bearded dragons.
Is a bearded clam a thing?
Yeah.
is it a euphemism?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. You, After the show, yeah, maybe on the work computer, pull up bearded clamps. Don't pull up.
That's dark side of the pooch.
Do not pick up. Do not tap on images. Okay. You don't want to do that. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Got some very interesting questions here. Speaking of the heat, and I know this is something we talk about all the time. I was on Fox 6 last week. I've talked about my dog and they were like, hey, can you get Dr. Rab on our show? And I'm sure you'd love to be on Fox 6 to talk about, you know, how we're supposed to handle our pets in extreme heat. And I'm like, you know, have we not talked about this situation a million times? But I will mention this. I've been walking my neighborhood two or three times a week. And it's 105, 106, feels like temperature. I am very cognizant at this point now when I'm taking Rainer out. Obviously, I'm not taking Frisco out. He's not good enough to go walking yet. But I'm making sure that he walks in the grass and not the pavement. Sometimes he'll kind of shake his paw, and I think it's probably because his paws are getting a little too warm. But I am really cognizant in making sure that I bring him at least one bottle of water for him alone. We walk about 2 miles. And I'm to the point where if I start getting really uncomfortable, I just assume that he's getting uncomfortable. True?
Yeah. And it's a good point about the paws, because we talk about, you know, when dogs get heat stroke, hyperthermia, you know, what are some of the early signs? And vomiting is one of the earliest things that you'll see your dog do. They're getting too hot. They'll throw up. But the paws thing is something that it's not associated with heat stroke. It just makes them uncomfortable. And I think a lot of times that it can be hard to remember that kind of stuff because we have shoes on and we don't know how hot the pavement is, but dogs can still tolerate hot pavement up to a point. But that's a really good point that especially in the afternoons when that pavement's hot, we need to avoid it.
And you see us at swimming pools when we're running across the parking lot. I mean, imagine what your dog's going through.
Man, it hurts so bad. And those pads on their feet are made to resist some of that stuff. But you know, it's not a license. You know, it's not a license to walk on, you know, hot coals.
Yeah, I think there's this idea And my dog did it again today, just about an hour ago. It was Frisco dog. I took him outside and he went out and he's a black dog. He has lost a lot of his hair, but he's a black dog. So he's attracting heat. He goes out in the middle of the yard and just spreads out in the heat. He sunbathes and it's like 95 degrees, feels like 105. And I'm like, why in the world would an animal want to do that? I don't know why dogs sunbathe. But I have the thought process of, well, if he can sunbathe with a coat on, he sure as hell can go for a walk with a coat on. But then I'm thinking, but then my daughter, who's super smart, she's like, well, you sunbathe that and it's not comfortable. I'm like, you know what? She's like, you lay out in the sun and it's not very comfortable, is it? And I was like, no. She goes, maybe dogs are doing it for the same reason. Maybe they just like to feel that warmth for a short period of time and then they want to come inside. And I was like, you're really smart.
My dog sure does. I went home during lunch and let him out and he loves to go out. He rolls around in the grass. He scratches his back. He lays in the sun for less than 10 minutes. And then he's at the back door scratching to come in.
Just
so
pant like crazy.
Yeah. All dogs like it. They like to go out there. They like to feel the sensation, roll around and get a little warm, but it doesn't last long.
So someone told me, the other day, while you're out walking your dog, to not give them water while they're panting. He had read something. It was Dr. Josh Klapo, as a matter of fact. He's got a couple of bulldogs that he needs to bring in to your store there at the Rossburg Animal Hospital. They are just super cool. Molly and Constantine, I think is what their names are. Molly and Constantine. All right. Anyway, they're beautiful. Like but he had read somewhere that if an animal's panting really, really bad, that you should not give it water immediately, that it has to go through some type of situation of relegating its panting first before it can actually take the moisture or the moisture from the water in. Does that make sense?
Well, there are some things that could potentially happen. If they are panting a lot and if they're swallowing that air and they're also swallowing water, their stomach can get distended.
Okay.
And that can lead to a condition called gastrodilatation and volvulus, where the stomach just kind of fills up with air and fills up with water. And then it kind of twists on its long axis and that cuts off the blood supply, which can be fatal. So that's one thing. If they're swallowing a lot of air and they're also drinking or eating, that can happen. But also if they're panting and they're trying to drink water, they could also aspirate that water into their lungs and create a lung infection. Gotcha. So, there are things that can happen if they're trying to drink and breathe at the same time. So you can be cognizant of that. Sure.
My dog is smart enough. Or at least I think it is, that it will pull me towards the shade when it seems like it needs to rest. I don't know if that's just really smart, but it does. It seems like whenever it gets really, really hot, he will pull me across the street. And maybe it's because we've rested in these shaded areas before when we've walked. But he'll go down. He'll lay down on the grass for a few seconds and I'll give him about 5 or 10 minutes and we get up and we finish our walk. Is that normal? And is that a telltale sign that, hey, listen, I'm too hot? What are some signs besides vomiting that our animals are getting too hot to be outside?
Well, the obvious one is panting.
Mm-hmm.
And then seeking shade is definitely something that they know, don't they?
They know
Of course. Yeah, of course they know they're getting hot and they need a break. And there's no length of time and there's no temperature that I can tell you that you need to be extra, diligent about and keep your pet from doing that. But you know, even if it's 85 degrees outside, feels like 85, mm-hmm. and they're running around, that's fine. But when they get to a point where they're laying down and panting, you need to come in.
Yeah.
You know, it's time to come in. If they're panting and they're still walking, odds are they're fine. But if they get to a point where they're laying down and really panting hard, it's time to call it quits.
There you go. And it's funny because we have several neighbors who like to take care of their lawns and we'll usually have at least one of them spray us down a little bit. We'll wipe out there with a hose. I'm like, spray us down. Of course, the dog hates it. I'm like, dude, it feels great. Let him spray you down. That usually gets us through our trip. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. This is Dark Side of the Pooch. He's Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossburg Animal Hospital. You can hear the show at least 5 days a week. Wherever you get your favorite podcasts, where most listen to shows, or one of our longest listening shows. I saw this, I do a little research before every show. And the number one story today is about nip and tuck surgery for our animals. And I was like, ooh, this is good. And it's not so much a nip and tuck, like a celebrity type of thing, but it's for an eyelid issue. Can you explain to me where the eyelid actually grows in instead of out and it can scratch the cornea? And evidently, is this something new? I've never heard of this before, but it's a nip and tuck for eyelids.
Well, you were talking about Dr. Josh's Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Those are one of the most common breeds that have this problem, but any dog can have it. But if you will think about your own eyelids and if your lids were to just roll slightly backwards, mm-hmm. then your eyelashes would scratch your eye.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. This is called entropion. The medical term is called entropion. And it's where the eyelids roll backwards and the eyelashes cause corneal ulcerations, scratches on the surface of the eye. And so to repair it, you remove, it depends on how severe the condition is, but you remove a little bit of skin below the lid, if it's the lower lid, or above the lid, if it's the upper lid. And then you sew those two cut edges together. And then that will pull down the lid. It will roll it back out.
Wow. So what causes a lid to roll the wrong direction? Is this something that happens or it's part of the breed?
It's just something they were born with. It's a conformational congenital deal. And a lot of times with young dogs, we give them time to fully mature and you know, grow, because as their head gets bigger, a lot of times it will stretch that skin and the entropion will either improve or it will resolve.
All right. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. These are all things that I've kind of seen over the last couple of days. I cannot believe it, but my kids are going back to school on August 8th, which is ridiculous. It's way too damn early. We're supposed to go on vacation that week, but I see how my dogs enjoy having my kids over. I'm divorced, and so I have a 7-on-7-off. And every other week, much like myself, I have to acclimate myself to the new schedule. When I have my kids here, it's fun, it's laughter, it's good times, we're rocking and rolling, and it's a wonderful time, and there's a lot of joy and happiness in this family. And then when they're gone, it's super quiet. My routine changes quite a bit. I end up working a lot more than I do when I have my kids, and I think my animals feel that. What do animals feel when we go back to school? I never even thought about this. You know, obviously you go to school for 12 years and you're talking about a 2 or 3 month period during the summer where your animals are around you all the time, much like they were with COVID. And all of a sudden you're gone for 9 months. What's it like for them?
My dog, I can really only speak for my dog. He's sad.
Yeah.
He likes having people at the house. Even though it doesn't really change his demeanor. I shouldn't say demeanor. It doesn't change his routine. He's almost 14, so he just lays around anyway. Mm-hmm. But when we're gone or he knows we're leaving for an extended period of time, he's a basket case, crying, whining, running around the house. So, they really miss us. And so this week I am, all my family's at the beach. Mm-hmm. So I'm having seven days off. From my family.
Wow. Okay.
And right. Man, the house is quiet, but you can get a lot of stuff done.
Wow. All right. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Brett in Heatherwood, I think I know who this is, says, my dog Snivels loves listening to fish. Does Dr. Rab's animals love fish? And can you talk about, do dogs appreciate music? Do they like classical more than rock? Is it because you play the same music over and over and over again? You think they enjoy it. I've seen parakeets get off on particular types of music. What about our dogs and cats? They like music?
I think they like to hear just anything. Yeah. I mean, I think that it helps them maybe not feel lonely, especially if you're not there. Mm-hmm. I think music or the TV on. I think dogs really enjoy that.
Leave the TV on when you leave the house, if the dogs are in the house?
I mean, I'm not advocating people to run their energy bill up, but I think the dogs would appreciate it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I really do. I think, and lately I've been leaving the fan on because we're getting these afternoon thunderstorms and sometimes they rumble and bumble and stumble and I don't want my dogs to freak out. But I swear, leaving the fan on, the TV on, it's like, I think they appreciate that. I think they really
my dog loves music.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's got to love fish because he listens to it all the time.
Do you think the dogs can recognize songs?
I mean, I think that they can recognize familiarity.
Yeah.
In a song.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they could recognize that it sounds familiar to them.
Yeah. This is from Casey in Birmingham. Would you ever break someone's car glass if you saw an animal inside? There was another great article about that too. By the way, there's no laws anywhere in the country about whether it's legal or illegal to break someone's glass in a car. I don't think anyone's ever gotten in trouble for it. But there was another animal, I think it was an Allegheny or something near Pittsburgh, where an animal died and someone said they saw the animal inside, didn't know. You don't want to be that person that overreacts. First of all, you want to make sure it's not an electric car, because electric cars don't make any noise and it could be on. Mm-hmm. I've seen people leaving cars run in the Winn-Dixie parking lot with their animals inside, which I'm totally cool with. But if I do walk to the parking lot and I see an animal in there and the windows are rolled up, or even they're rolled down a little bit and the car is not running, would you take it upon yourself to break the glass, or would you call the cops first? What would you do?
No, I'd make a phone call first.
Yeah.
I would make a phone call first, because it would just be the timing would be like really insane if you still couldn't give that animal 5 minutes, you know, to let the cops come and decide what to do.
Yeah.
But I would have a hard time breaking somebody's window. I mean, you know, obviously if I had a crystal ball and I knew that it was going to save an animal's life, then that's one thing. But I think that there's some, potential big ramifications for breaking somebody's window.
Well, you know what? And the easiest window to break is the windshield. It is meant to come out. The windshield is meant to come out. It's if you're in a car and you're in one of the situations where you're sinking in a lake or whatever, you have to wait for it to depressurize so you can actually get out, because you can't get out because of the weight. If you wait until it goes almost all the way under and use your feet to push the windshield out, it won't. But the side windows are really difficult. That's why you have to use that little hammer tool with the little screw thing on it. Yeah. If you mm-hmm. if you don't have one of those, unless you have a pistol or something, you're shooting through it, it's not going to break. So you have,
and then those things have the little seatbelt cutter on the other side.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are cool. I hope I'm never in that situation, but if I am, I will think back to this moment when I learned that I could kick the windshield out.
There you go.
But I mean, but does that go for like scrawny people like me? I mean,
yeah. There is an easy way. I mean, as long as you stick your butt up against your seat and push, I mean, you'll have some torque there, you know. But it's like
having a baby. Put your butt up against your seat and push.
You can actually push a windshield out pretty easily with your feet. And that's windshield company that comes out and does those things. They pop those off pretty easy. All right. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Before we find out what's going on at Rossbridge Animal Hospital, 208-0301, RossbridgeVet.com. One final question here. Sheldon in Mountain Brook says that he's been in a couple of Code Brown situations this year in public pools. Is it bad to swim in fecal-filled water from your animals? Great question. I've been at pools where I've seen, you know, the baby Ruth float by. You're like, okay, and they got to shut the pool down. It's Caddyshack, right? And they have to close the pool down for like 3 or 4 days and scrub it. If a dog jumps in and poops in a pool, any big deal?
What does Carl say when he picks it up? You know, in the movie?
He just sniffs it and takes a bite. I don't know. I forget.
It's no big deal.
No big deal.
It's no big deal. I mean, yeah, you can get probably the most common thing you would get is you can get pink eye. You can get
pink eye from Code Brown.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's just fecal material, and the bacteria is in that. It's no different.
Why? No, hold on. Why pink eye? What's that have to do with the eyeballs?
Because if you get contaminated water, like if you have water that's contaminated with feces, and you get that in your conjunctival area, it can give you pink eye.
Really? I was not aware of that.
That's how people get pink eye.
Really?
Yeah.
Now I know it's highly contagious, correct?
Yeah, because that bacteria will populate that tissue.
So when someone gets pink eye, they're getting it from fecal matter?
In a lot of cases, not always. It's not always that. for sure.
Yeah.
But that is one way you can get it, okay, no doubt.
So I'm asking you the question that if I get pink eye and there's a good chance it's coming from fecal matter, how in the world would I possibly get a fecal matter in my eye? Picking up dog poop and wipe my eye, or just, I mean,
yeah, it's somehow on your hand.
Oh man, that's crazy. I did not know that. I learned something new here in Dark Side.
Yeah, well, pink eye is a bacteria. It can be viral too. And I want to, you know, it's not always bacteria. You can have viral conjunctivitis, bacterial conjunctivitis. Conjunctivitis is pink eye.
Yeah. Is there any other things that can happen to a human being if they're swimming in a pool with a dog turd?
I mean, this fecal matter would be so diluted in a large pool that you probably get nothing from it. We're just talking about what the possibilities are.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you somehow ingested it, you know, it could cause some vomiting or diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things you deal with.
All right. Anything going on, Rossbridge Animal Hospital? You always have a little nugget for us. We haven't, I know I've been talking a lot about my situation the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I'm not allowed you to talk about your information. You haven't been folding laundry. I know you've been on a lot of trips lately, which is great because you deserve it. You work real hard. But anything interesting going there at the club?
You know, we have kind of a somewhat of a mystery that it's a, we will, you know, sometimes these things turn out to give you some information, but sometimes they don't. But we had this dog that, it was coming in for an appointment today, but it ended up dying before it could get here. And so the owners have requested we do what's called a necropsy. Sounds like autopsy.
Yeah.
But an autopsy is when you have a person that is doing a post-mortem exam on another person. So that's an autopsy. When you do a necropsy, you have a person doing a post-mortem exam on another species.
Okay.
So that's a necropsy.
That makes sense.
So
would a biocropsy be doing something on yourself?
Maybe an autocropsy.
Autocropsy would actually be working on yourself while you're dead.
Yeah, but you'd be dead.
Well, it's a zombie thing.
Because the cropsy.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, so we're gonna send that animal off to the state diagnostic lab, and they have some pathologists there.
Okay, so back it up a little bit here, partner. Before they came in, when did they first call you? What did they say were some symptoms? What was the situation? I know, and I say this because with my animal, I called you on a Friday afternoon and said, hey, listen, can I bring my buddy in Monday? And you said, well, if he makes it till then. I said, what do you mean if he makes it till then? You're like, he's lost a lot of weight, Tone. I don't know if he's going to make it. And I was like, you got to be kidding me, because obviously you guys are not open. I didn't want to take him to an emergency room, which I guess I could have, but I waited till Monday and it worked out okay. But what were some of the symptoms? What was wrong with this animal?
Well, it was my associate's case. And like I said, it died before it got here. And, I think the symptoms were that the dog just wasn't acting right. Maybe you had an arched back, doing a lot of drooling. So the symptoms were pretty nondescript. But I think the owners had been out of town for a while and had just come back. So there were a lot of things potentially on the table that it could be.
Yeah.
So that's where the pathologist comes in. They're trained. They look at all the organs. There are specific tests they do on the organs. They look at them under the microscope. They take sections and look. So hopefully we'll have a reason, because I know the owners are they're a little confused as to, you know, an apparently healthy dog would die suddenly. So just like in people do autopsies. So we're going to do a necropsy and see what we come up with.
And I guess what is something like that run?
Well, so the state diagnostic lab is really reasonable in their in their price. You would be surprised. It's under $100.
Is there any reason to have a necropsy done that would have something to do with a furthering of any type of disease or anything with anyone around? In other words, is there something where you go, oh my gosh, I'm glad we did this because it could affect our other dogs or affect someone in the family? Or is it purely just we want to know what happened?
Both. So I'll give you right now. So state diagnostic labs, they do a lot. It's not just domesticated house pets that they do this for. They're also really involved in food animal.
Mm-hmm.
So right now there's a real, the avian influenza outbreak is becoming very detrimental to our chicken population.
Yeah.
And these veterinarians that work at the state diagnostic lab, those are the kind of cases that they are also called in on. So they do a lot of work with a lot of different species.
Yeah.
But they offer their service to companion animals as well.
That's crazy. That's great stuff. You always have a little nugget there. Tell people how they can get in touch with you. It's been stinking hot. And I was just telling my daughter, we get 5 weeks till college football. It's fixing to cool off again. It'll be here before you know it. Next thing you know, your holidays, the year's been flying by. But tell people how they can find you, man.
You can email us, rossbridgeanimalhospital@gmail.com. You can call us at 208-0301. Or if you're lucky, you can find us on Facebook.
Have yourself a wonderful weekend, friend.
You too, buddy.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.